Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our new Wednesday stream.
Yes.
We used to stream on Thursdays, then we switched to Mondays. We're also now kind of doing slightly shorter streams on a Wednesday because we have so many topics we want to get through.
We're going to try it anyway. It's a sort of way we can do it will allow us to do more streams in future because we can cover some subjects in a kind of more surface level, on a Wednesday evening, and then the one on a Monday should feed in. So, and we'll try and do this sometimes, not always. This is just going to sort of stand alone as it is because I basically reminded you of this happening
You reminded me
another
that
week.
this existed, and then I ended up having to try and scrape everything together because there's so much interconnected things when it comes to both the kind of the White March and the Dutroux affair in general. It's something as well that I don't think many of you will have heard of. I'd be very surprised if a lot of people knew about this case in any detail. I know there's a couple of people I came across who'd kind of done threads about it, but a lot of it was very conspiracy jacketed,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
and we're not just here to do like true crime, like, oh,
No.
it's so gritty, it's so gruesome. We're actually hopefully going to learn a lesson by the end of the next sort of 45, 50 minutes, which is one we should already know anyway, which is that popular dissent and popular protest does not work.
It's a great worked example of a lot of people go, well, what if millions, hundreds of thousands or even millions of people marched out on the streets and said, we don't want elite pedophiles anymore? Well, in Belgium, it happened. And
Yeah.
we're going to show you what happened, how it happened, some of the extraordinary circumstances under which it happened, and how no amount of information, no amount of civil rights style marching, and even no amount of scandal ultimately will create change.
And this is looking at something that from where we are now is a near, if not nearly like 25 year saga that still really hasn't been solved.
No, it isn't really over. We'll go through the timelines in the stream, but the affair really started in 1989, although it wasn't properly, that was the first arrest. It came to a head in 1996, but the sentencing wasn't until 2004. So it was an extremely drawn out process, and it was something that took a lot of energy. There's a lot of anger still in Belgium itself, and you'll see why. But it's something again that time basically killed the momentum of it.
Yeah, I suppose we should say as well before I get fully into it, thank you to those who turn up to the streams on
Yes.
an evening and take the time out to listen to us and be blackpilled.
A lot of people are like, man, your streams, they're great, but I can't handle some of the information. I'm afraid that the arc of possibly about the next four streams, maybe, depending on what we do. Next, kind of the Monday after next, but we've got this stream, and especially the next stream, are going to be, I would say, slightly difficult sits because of the what's how dense the stuff is in terms of just like boom, 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 boom.
But it's vital that you know this stuff.
Yeah, it is pretty vital that you know this stuff, and it's vital that we have these examples and that we don't know it just intellectually, that we know it intuitively, we feel it in our bones, and we are able to point to these mass examples. Because the more I researched this, the more amazed I became. And you have to be slightly detached with this stuff. Like, you could make a horrendous, and a lot of people have really gone with the true crime angle rather than the politics angle, which I
Yeah.
think has really taken some of the wind out of the sails of the effect of the White March and the Dutroux affair. Before we launch into it properly, I will properly excited to thank people who come to the streams. We are still fully monetized somehow. The best way to
It's
donate,
our faith and love of the nation of Israel, of course, that allows us to be monetized.
If you have any questions, don't hesitate to send super chat, super sticker, or any of those stupid things that YouTube does. But we do have the best way to donate is through Streamlabs. That takes the lowest cut. We also have memberships available if you want to do any kind of recurring support. And I've not given a shout out in a while, so thank you to our members, Krillon, Aurelian Nautilus Caesar, John Morton, GC Mitt, RB, James Mary, HK9410, the best rifle. Not sure, Windtalker, S Smith, Sock Addict, and Tank Imperator. I see a lot of you are regular donors as well, so thank you for that.
And also please do your algorithm god summoning rituals in the comments and like the likes and whatnot.
Like I said, if you don't, I know it's cringe YouTube stuff, but if you don't interact with these videos, they basically change the ether. So you kind of have to play the game a little bit. But that's our boilerplate YouTube stuff.
In the words of Skepta, bell me rude boy.
Yes. That's our boilerplate YouTube stuff out the way, apart from to say that we have a Substack that updated twice weekly now, hopefully for the foreseeable future.
As long as we can still come up with stuff that's stuck on it.
Yes, as people are still filtering in. All links down below. We've got a Telegram that we update basically every day. There's... My intern runs a Twitter for me.
Yes.
That is not me on Twitter. Well, if anyone tells you it is, they are lying.
However, we shall make sure to shill again towards the end, and we'll make a start here.
We have a relatively large amount to cover. So we are going to just kind of... We're going to get into it, guys.
Hit the ground running,
is it? Yeah. But it's there isn't a clickbait title. This really is a case of mass protest against, like, an elite paedophile ring. It's kind of amazing. But the first thing I want to cover is from a slightly more modern perspective. There is a Euronews article here, I think from 2019.
Yeah, it's like a sort of retrospective and explainer for people who basically weren't there at the time.
Yeah, it's explainer. Paedophile Marc Dutroux and the horror case that united and divided Belgium. This is, again, a slightly retconned version of what happened. But I'll just go over it, because it's a decent explainer. On Sunday, 20th of October, 400 Belgians met in the streets of Brussels on what they called the Black March, to protest against the potential early release from prison of paedophile and child killer Marc Dutroux. Monday, 20th of October, Belgium Sentencing Court orders new psychiatric report on Dutroux that could see this become a reality in 2021. The report requested by Dutroux's lawyers must be submitted by 11th of May next year. Experts will determine whether Dutroux is likely to reoffend and will examine the impact of his detention in solitary confinement for the past 23 years. The Black March demonstrates a faint echo of the White March, when on the same date in 1996, between 275,000 and 350,000, estimates vary, people took to the streets after Dutroux's arrest to honour his victims in what was by far the largest protest in Belgian history.
Yeah, I think it is worth me putting in perspective for people that this is an estimation which we are, I think, rightly, you know, willing to skeptically consider as probably underestimated.
Yeah.
And as representative of the singular one protest in
Brussels.
It's
the singular crowd, yeah, is what it was, in Brussels. That's not 350,000 people throughout the country. And Belgium was not a very populous country at this point. That's about 3-4% of the entire Belgian population. We'll go into that a bit further, about how widespread the White March movement was and how much an effect it had on Belgian society and Belgian politics. But 3% of the Belgian population was in Brussels basically immediately at that point. But the whole honouring the victims part as well is a bit of a glossing over. Because if you go into the chronology of what happened, you will find that what they were actually protesting was the cover-up of what is seen as exceptionally likely to be an elite pedophile ring which encompasses the Belgian police, judiciary, political class, and quite possibly the international political class. Because even at this point, you must remember that Brussels and Belgium is the seat of EU power. It is, in political terms, the centre of Europe, because it is a divided vassal state, in many ways.
Where was the first place that they went looking for Madeleine McCann after in Portugal? Belgium.
Yes, it was Belgium, yes.
Because it is known amongst that sort that it's basically the European centre for child trafficking. Yes. And specifically elite child trafficking. See, because of Q and stuff like that nowadays, it feels like almost, you know, like some sort of, I dare I say, meme, but it feels like unserious to talk about these things, but it's like this is actually true.
Yes.
That was maybe not the most informative way to think about it, but yes, we should
Gendarmerie, by the way, is an elite police force. They're basically like, they're like the Mounties, almost.
Yeah, like serious crime.
Yeah, yeah, gendarmerie are basically the equivalent of like the FBI kind of in Belgium. So that's what that is. 8 years later, in 2004, Dutroux was sentenced to life in prison for the abduction and rape of six girls aged between 8 and 19 in 1995 and 1996. The deaths of two of them we buried alive. Two of the remaining four girls died when they starved in the makeshift cell Dutroux constructed in his basement after he was sent to prison for 4 months for theft and left them there. His then-wife, primary school teacher Michelle Martin, had been instructed to give them food and water, but did not. These girls were still alive when police first searched Dutroux's house. Officers heard what they described as cries of children, but they were dismissed as coming from outside the house and not investigated. We'll get into some of that later, but that's kind of the overview there. A lot of the stuff it goes into here is, there's a lot of it here, but we'll, it's not where we want to go with it. We yeah. might return here in a bit, but there's a lot more to cover. I want to go quickly. Actually, one of the better resources, which is surprising, is Marc Dutroux's Wikipedia page, which is apparently heavily disputed by the Wikipedia moderators.
Of course it is.
But someone, like the Lost Houses of Britain Wikipedia page, someone has researched this and obviously become more radicalized as you go down the page. there is some kind of Wikipedia... Yes, he does look like Vouch, by the way. There is some...
I think it's probably more than just a coincidence to that.
Yeah, extremely...
Physiognomy check,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, globalist pet physiognomy. One of the biggest points about Marc Dutroux is that he was initially convicted of the abduction and rape of five girls in 1989, but was released on parole after just 3 years. And that is considered a very heavy signal of his links to both the authorities and the police, that he was able to be out under no conditions after merely 3 years for five child rapes. It is insane that that happened.
But we can just carry on here quickly. You know, they've got his accomplices included his wife, Michelle Martin, Michelle Le Verrier, or whatever, Michelle Nulot, and Bernard Weinstein. Interesting name, that. Martin was convicted and sentenced to 30 years in prison, while Le Verrier, or however you pronounce that, was sentenced to 25 years. Someone else, a Brussels businessman, pub owner, and familiar face at sex parties.
Nihul, who will, I think it's pronounced Nihul, we'll come to him later. He is one of the only acknowledged accomplices of Dutroux. The Dutroux case was extraordinary in how wide-ranging...
Yeah. As I say, also, he seems to have murdered his accomplice Weinstein as well towards the end there.
But it's amazing how widespread and how shut down and covered up the case was, but how little we actually know about who was involved. We'll get to some of the bigger events of Oive shutting it down later. There's a PDF I've not got open because it's not as good as I was looking at, actually. There was some limited reporting abroad. At the time, it was reported in the Washington Post. From what I can tell, it was not reported in the UK papers at all during this period.
Interesting that.
It was not reported. It was reported later in the German and French press, but it was reported very little
this would
outside
be
of Belgium.
September 96, so pre-March.
Yes. This is pre-March. It's the Washington Post, Sordid Times in Dear Belgium. Four little girls kidnapped for the sex trade are exhumed from their dungeon prisons that became their tomb. A political leader and his henchmen are arrested. The contract murder of a government official.
That last article, the most recent one in 2019, it never mentioned the intention of prostitution or sex trade now, did it?
Yes, a child prostitution ring is exposed, and every day brings new hints of official cover-ups, police bungling, tampered evidence, and judicial incompetence. This is what the White March ended up protesting. Mm. In fact, what it ended up protesting was the removal of the judge. We'll get to that in more detail later. What country are we living in? Asked a headline in La Derrière Heure, a Brussels newspaper, as it delivered yet another day of sickening and sinister news. The answer in Belgium, where the Dutch and French-speaking populations coexist uneasily in a single Maryland, God, Americans, sized pinched and comfortably among France and the Netherlands, Germany and Luxembourg. The most mafia-ridden banana republic, lamented the paper. Looks like an island of tranquility next to our Belgium of deviants and murderous plots. Oh dear Belgium, we no longer recognize. It's a big difference from them. A lot of the recent reporting about the White March is saying that it was a march against child abuse in the abstract. It was a march for child safety. It was not, in fact, a march against the political class, which it was. Mm. It was a march against the political class.
See, what I find interesting here, though, is that straight away, they're like, you know, police said Dutroux was part of a child prostitution ring. No mention of this in the later stuff.
Yes.
Because that instantly means accomplices, a wider network, and possibly international connections.
Yes, and may also have been responsible for several other disappearances still unsolved. The White March was also protesting the fact that dozens of Belgian children had gone missing up to that point, and the police had refused to investigate their cases. The disappearance of children was actually endemic in Belgium throughout the late 80s and early 90s, and this is very likely why.
Mm. His gang allegedly offered to buy young victims for $5,000 apiece as part-time car thieves too. They may have enjoyed local police protection. 2 weeks ago, even as Belgians mourned the children and the drip of grisly details from the case continued, police arrested Alain van der Beest, a powerful regional official from French-speaking Wallonia, in the unsolved 1991 assassination of a one-time deputy prime minister.
Yes, it's kind of amazing. Yeah, the dramatic reopening of the five-year-old Coors case stunned the country already deep in grief. The apparent early mishandling of the case by the police reports stirred very recent memories of official corruption among the political elites who run the country of 11. It's a country of only 11 million people. That's how that's 3%, you know, 350.
Well, it was just about 10 million at the time, I think.
Yes.
So if you want to say out of the adult population, it's probably over about 4 or 5% of the total adult population was in Brussels on that day.
It basically talks about the fact that politicians are reeling, public trust is low. It's very much the talking about the connection possibly to the Van der Beest case. There was no connection found publicly, but many people suspect that
It says here, did the Dutroux investigation turn up new evidence that led to the Van der Beest arrest? A man on a red motorcycle fired the shots that killed Cools in a parking lot was at the same red motorcycle found in Dutroux's garage. And didn't one of Dutroux's accomplices formerly live with a woman who later took up with a close associate of Van der Beest? So, you know, even in this one article alone, we have just one isolated example of the fact that this man seems connected to all sorts of weird criminal and political activity.
Yes, it gets bigger, is the problem. The more you look at it, the more it gets bigger. The cover-up was extremely wide-ranging. And we're going to jump a little bit about in the timeline here, because I want to go through the depths, really, of what was uncovered, what was done, and what wasn't done. First of all, I've got a little kind of related image here. I'm going to go through all of these and show there's actually articles that prove each of these points. But I just want to go through just the absolute depravity of the book. It was incompetence, in quotes, in the official tale. But these are the things that are proven that happened in the Dutroux case. The DNA evidence at the scene, and there was a lot of it, was never analysed and was all lost. The related car theft ring was proved to be under the protection of the local police. One of the only people arrested in connection with the case was a police officer, although it dragged on for years and kind of never went anywhere. But it's widely regarded that the car theft business of Dutroux and his associates was protected by local police. There was huge numbers of mysterious deaths related to the case, so much so, as we're going to later, the German public broadcaster put out a 40-minute documentary about the sheer number of suspicious suicide and deaths around the Dutroux case. One of the worst ones, and we'll go over this, was the fact that René Michaud, a police officer, ignored the screams of children in the house despite being pleaded with by the locksmith that accompanied him to check out what was going on. The locksmith was, for some conflicting reports, apparently threatened by the police officer. René Michaud then went on to be promoted to police commissioner.
As you do for scratching someone else's back.
He also sees videos of Dutro both constructing the dungeons and of him raping children, and they were never watched before they were returned to Dutro, even though the police logged that they had watched the evidence.
Here's your videotapes back. Yes. We promise we've not watched them.
Despite Dutro being worth 6 million francs, owning 10 properties, despite his only income being benefits at the time, no financial investigation ever took place.
Nor was there any look into where large sums of money internationally that arrived in his finances, yes, or his associates' finances, you know, the sort of thing that Interpol is there and designed to
We only found out about some of the details of finances due to a WikiLeaks release that was unfortunately completely overshadowed by the Iraq war disclosures at almost exactly the same time. But the Belgian state tried furiously to get this taken down. They launched legal action against this dossier, despite them never have ever released the information themselves and attempting to hide it from the public.
For sake of curiosity, how did they finish the framing of this, the Washington Post article we were looking at before?
Just the end of it?
Yeah.
I will quickly move back to that then.
Yeah, so is this basically just a summary? Dutro was jailed in 89 for torturing and raping children, released after serving 3 years of a 13-year sentence. He was picked up again late last year during the investigation of the disappearance of teenage girls, questioned and released, and went on to kidnap and murder again. As if there was no bottom to this pit, the Belgian press reported that because of ailments he said he contracted in jail, Dutro was able to collect $1,200 a month of public assistance after his release. In other words, the victims' families shared in the financial support of a man who owned 10 houses and killed their children for profit.
I did say these would be slightly difficult streams, but yeah, that's the framing we're at here. Here's where we are. That was Belgium, and it is still a sore issue in Belgium. When this gets mentioned, it's still a sore issue. But surprisingly good reporting. Again, The Guardian has these patches of relatively decent reporting. They talk about the fact that the DNA evidence was never analyzed, and they also talk about the locksmith angle.
Yeah. Something is rotten in the state of Belgium 6 years after the arrest of Mark Dutro, the country's notorious paedophile. No date has been set for his trial, and the case remains painfully unresolved.
Yep, it goes on to describe the case. I've spent the last 6 months making a documentary about the investigation. Early on, I was told by one senior government advisor, you must not underestimate the terrible record of our Belgian justice system. It's a system which today appears paralysed, unable to prosecute the accused, his wife, and an alleged accomplice. With each successive year in jail without trial, the case against the Belgian authorities for a breach of human rights grows stronger. The official explanation for the delay is that hysterical conspiracy theories forced investigators to search for pedophile networks that didn't exist. But far from being investigated, leads pointing to a network seemed rather to be ignored or buried. Dutro's wife, a former primary school teacher and the mother of his three children...
Of course, she's a primary school teacher as well.
...has admitted that in 1995, she knew two small girls were incarcerated without food or water in a secret dungeon in the cellar of a house they owned in Chateau. She told police she visited the house to feed their dogs while her husband was in jail on car theft charges, but was too frightened to feed the girls. Months later, Dutro led police to the emaciated bodies of Julie Leon and Melissa Rousseau, the 2 8-year-olds who had been kidnapped more than a year before. They were buried in the garden of another of Dutro's homes. An accomplice, Marc Livier, a drug addict and petty thief, told police soon after his arrest the girls had been kidnapped to order for someone else. Chief suspect was Michelle Nahot, a Brussels businessman, pub owner, and familiar face at sex parties. That's the bit that's quite
the video. The next paragraph here as well. I met Nahot in a restaurant in Brussels. I am the monster of Belgium, he roared at me by way of greeting. He is confident that he will never come to trial and that the evidence against him will never be heard in any jury. During the course of our meal, he apparently playfully grabbed me, tickling, and finally pulled me over onto him, the restaurant booth, until I had to appeal to my colleague, Chief.
He will never come to court, he said, because the information he has about important people in Belgium, which would bring the government down. The monster of Belgium denies he's a pedophile, but seems to enjoy his notoriety and demanded £1,000 for his story. We declined his offer. Every documentary likes a monster, but we don't pay for blah, 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 blah. I'm fine for the bits about the DNA evidence here. Give me a second. Because this does waffle on a little bit. God, is it? Kidnapped in here. Here we go.
Yeah.
The autopsy reports reveal Melissa was raped repeatedly over a prolonged period, but there is nothing, no DNA evidence, no witness sightings, no forensics of any kind to show whether it was Dutroux or anyone else.
Look at the paragraph above that as well. Yes. Karine Russo, who we can presume to be one of the mothers.
He's one of the accomplices.
No.
Sorry.
It's one of the
Oh, sorry, mothers, one of the mothers, sorry.
Yeah, was not allowed to see her daughter's body. I begged and pleaded. I went with my lawyer, but they refused. They told me the law did not permit it. But who will identify my daughter, I asked them. Who will confirm that it's her? Dutroux has identified her, they told me. I don't think they're allowed to do that.
No. Carrie Russo points to a wall of files in her office. Where are the results of the swabs taken from Melissa's body for analysis? We know swabs were taken. It says so in the reports, but there are no results. I've asked the prosecutor repeatedly and no one seems to know.
After their years of grief and their betrayal by the Belgian police and judiciary, the Rousseaus barely believe a word of the official version. Dutroux, the lone paedophile, kidnapped the girls for his personal use and kept them in a cage cellar until their death of starvation the day he returned home after 4 months in jail. How, they ask, could two children survive alone with virtually no food or water for 4 months? The Rousseaus suspect the girls weren't there at all. A number of reported sightings of Melissa, one in an upstairs room of a Charleroi nightclub, which were never followed up, have convinced them that someone else had access to the girls while Dutroux was in jail. Why else, they ask, were the hairs which detectives gathered from the dungeon at Dutroux's cellar never sent for DNA analysis? Why did Judge Langlois, or however you pronounce that, Coronet's replacement, refuse to have them tested despite pressure from his prosecutor, Michael Burley, who believed that DNA identification of those hairs might reveal who else was involved?
It's, like I said, it's stupefying, but this is what the White March was protesting. These are the series of revelations that the Belgian people had, which led to 3% of their population at a single protest. Nothing happened.
Mm.
None of their political class went to prison.
But again, look down here. We go to one of these later lines about how the results for the DNA test were inconclusive because the bodies were too decomposed. They would have never done DNA tests in the first place if that was evidence they saw. And the story they seem to be telling is that the girls had only just recently passed.
Yes, but this too makes no sense. The autopsy says clear the bodies were not decomposed. Samples were taken, but no one seems to know what happened to the results. Let me see if I can find... Okay. I'm trying to find the bit about the police officer. Because that is one of the worst... I'll just get it up in the Wikipedia article. Because the Wikipedia article references this.
There it is, right there.
Yeah.
Failure to rescue, you keep...
Sorry.
After failure to rescue Lejeune and Rousseau... After Lejeune and Rousseau were kidnapped in June 1985, it took police 14 months to arrest Dutroux, although he had been a prime suspect from the start, having committed similar crimes before. During the search for Lejeune and Rousseau, police visited Dutroux's house, where Lejeune and Rousseau were held twice on August 13th and 19th December 1995. However, no attempts were made to free them, even though the locksmith who accompanied police officer René Michaud said that he had heard the screams of children coming from inside the house. The locksmith reportedly said, "I'm not leaving before we turn the place upside down. The screams are clearly coming from inside the house," to which Michaud replied, "Who is the police officer here? You or me?"
It's stupefying. René Michaud is somebody who has been a repeated villain, but treated with kid gloves, it seems, by the Belgian media. He's portrayed as a man haunted by his mistake.
Mm. Well, there's the point you were mentioning before as well.
Yes.
They'd found films which went undeveloped and videos which they didn't watch. Had they done so, they would have seen Dutroux building the dungeon. Instead, Dutroux continued to abduct girls.
So, yeah, they they found video evidence that they apparently never watched. And they heard voices of children inside the house, which they never properly investigated.
Mm. They had DNA evidence, which they never took, but when they did take, it was inconclusive because the bodies they said weren't decomposed were decomposed. And they also wouldn't allow the victim's parents to identify the bodies, which means identification doesn't hold either.
No. For all we know, some of these girls are still out there, and these were other girls.
Mm.
And
then we can maybe get into the aspect of the witnesses. So.
Yes. I quickly want to talk about the fact of you have it here. Yes, policemen implicated in pedophile ring. Belgian authorities Sunday arrested three more people, including a police inspector, implicated in the pedophile and auto theft ring that has left Belgium in a state of stunned grief. That's what I'm talking about by the fact that...
August 25th, 1996. So this is even earlier than the Washington Post story.
It is, yes. I believe they went unprosecuted, but it's widely believed that they were protecting
And the they were in the same suburb where the club was previously referenced in the article before as well.
Yes. I will quickly, if I can find it in here, because I have a few bits about witnesses. The original investigation's magistrate was dismissed after sharing a meal with one of the victim's families. We'll go into that later. It's called the Spaghetti Affair. And several prosecutors, policemen, and crucial witnesses have committed suicide. Important evidence has also disappeared. Like I said, the event
Go back to that one for a second. Look at the paragraph up here. Imagine something like this appearing in The Guardian nowadays.
Yeah.
The victim's parents think they have an answer. Cover-up, and many Belgians agree with them. Dutroux was not acting alone, they say, but was part of a wider paedophile ring, which included policemen and senior members of the establishment. Why else would there be such a delay in going to trial?
So maybe Dutroux is being protected from on high, the last paragraph here. What other explanation can there be for such a disgraceful chain of events? But one thing is certain, the entire credibility of the current reformist government of Guy Verhofstadt...
He's the head of the EU Commission now, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Guy Verhofstadt and Belgium's very reputation as a normal, civilised country is on the line. Spoiler alert, Guy Verhofstadt continued to fail upwards and is still a part of... still an extremely senior member of the EU.
He must have scratched some very important backs with this one.
Well, we'll get into some of the wider political implications of this a bit later on. But I will say, and I will...
With police like these, who needs criminals?
Yeah. I will say that there is a little bit more to cover in terms of the detailed story. Because if you can believe it... there's more, and two, it gets slightly clearer, but there is no, unfortunately, there is no neat conclusion to this. I've linked it here. There's a There's a 30-minute documentary from German public service television broadcaster ZDF, Marc Dutroux, The Dead Witnesses, in which they go through all of these. Like I said, the Wikipedia article here has a decent timeline and a decent amount.
Yeah, deaths of potential witnesses. Bernard Weinstein, who was accomplice we mentioned before.
Poisoned by Dutroux.
Jean-Paul Tamineau, or whatever, rented a garage across a hangar that Dutroux was using. On 2nd April 1995, they're telling a friend he received important information about Dutroux. He died, and his foot was found in a river a year later.
Yeah.
Simon Poncelet, policeman that was investigating the car smuggling ring around Dutroux, died 21st February 1996, shot during the night. I presume we never found who the killer for him was. Joseph Toussaint, confessor of Michel Martin, dead 5th March 1997. Christian Conrads was a prisoner who was supposed to be questioned about his connection to Dutroux, but managed to escape and was found dead one month after the escape, 7th March 1997, with no cause of death there either. José Stepp, well-connected person from Charleroi, the same place with the club again, he had important info on Dutroux, found dead 25th April 1997, 2 days before testifying to the police. A sedative was found in his asthma breathing device.
He was Rohypnol through his inhaler. That's amazing.
Brigitte Ginard, a friend of Michael Newell.
And dentist.
We mentioned earlier. And she was found dead 1 year after. The trial for Dutroux started by suicide. Anna Convy-Oder, however you pronounce that, had con- contacted the police to tell him about a connection of a porn ring around Dutroux to Eastern Europe, again found dead, beaten, choked and dumped in the river, 7th April 1988. Gina Pardens, social worker supporting victims of a child pornography ring, told friends that she saw a child pornography tape in which one girl was murdered and claimed she recognised one of the perpetrators as an acquaintance of the Nahul guy mentioned earlier. She died 15th November 1998 after calling the police to tell them that she's been threatened with death by a car accident in connection with her work. She then procedurally died in a 50 mile an hour car crash.
Straight into a bridge, yes.
Sandra Cleese, ex-girlfriend of Lee Evray, that was the person mentioned previously as well, I believe. She said that she'd heard him and Dutroux talk about a way to make a lot of money. She also committed suicide.
Suicide in 1999. Renard, was an acquaintance of Dutroux. Died in a car crash, apparently, before waiting to give a list of contacts surrounding Dutroux to authorities in April 2001.
But wait, there's more.
There's a lot more here. Deaths of people associated with the case.
So is this the formal metal worker that worked on the property?
Yeah, another police officer's suicide. Somebody who was an acquaintance of Dutroux was poisoned.
Scrap dealer, people alleged he was blackmailed and forced to make crimes for his death. He told his wife that he was going to die because he knew too much. Part of the drug and crime scene, told his father that he wanted to talk to him about Melissa before the public knew about her kidnapping. Nightclub owner with the red light seen as Charlie Roy, same place mentioned before. The police officer investigating Dutroux case, wife of another person that was involved, a senior public prosecutor in the case, another police officer investigating the case, and what are the bottom ones we've got as well?
Yep, there's so many of them.
The paedophile hunter, film director who traded pornography tapes, accused of kidnapping a girl, police found children's toys at his apartment, dirty bastard, he probably deserved it. Old woman who saw Julie and Melissa enter a dark car with four doors in front of her house, suffering from dementia, thus unable to testify. Journalist investigating the Dutroux case died in a car crash. Another acquaintance of Michelle Nalot, owner of the Jonathan Bar, member of Red Mike.
So the big thing here is that we have two judiciary officials and four police officers associated with the case die in a space of 4 years. And it's extreme. Yeah, someone's saying, I respect the kill count. And yeah, they usually knock off one or two. This shows you how wide-ranging the conspiracy was.
Mm.
And it really shows
you... Binary suffering chat. Yeah. The Clintons would be proud of this. Yes.
Well, again, it's amazing how in the open it is. And again, it keeps getting worse. And I'd actually recommend watching this because I've seen part of the documentary. It's quite good. But it's amazing how many people were killed in relation to this. I'm trying to get this to go into English quickly. There we go. The Dutroux trial, Michaud at the helm. He was basically handled with kid gloves. The police officer, and again, he was promoted. He did not accept the explanation of the ex-policeman. He later said that he could not have found during the search he conducted at Mark Dutroux's the cache, that's what I referred to as the secret place, arranged in the cellar of Marshall. It's quite worrying. He admitted he heard whispers but not voices during the search. He's disputing the degree of what he heard.
Yeah.
But this is a Belgian language report.
Go down further here.
Yeah.
He specified that the official purpose of this search was to find clues for the sequestration of three adults for which Mark Dutroux had been under arrest warrant since December 6, 1995. So they actually went in under the premise of a completely different crime.
No, it's not. It's the,
is that part of the translation the three, there?
Yeah, it's part of the translation. Ah, right. He abducted three of them who were, you know, they were suspected. Some of his victims were 19.
Mm.
They said it was aged like 8 to 19.
Yeah.
So he was being investigated for the disappearance of three non-juveniles at the time. But they were trying to find it. Unfortunately, we have not discovered the caches. This is a translation from French, by the way. That's why it's so ropey. But here's one from The Guardian. Police admit Dutroux video bungle. Belgian police could have saved the lives of two children allegedly murdered by the pedophile Mark Dutroux. You have to say allegedly here because he's still being held.
Yep, but they wouldn't even started the trial then.
The trial was 5 years after this. If they had watched the video seized from his home, which showed him building their hidden cell that emerged yesterday, the force admitted it had held on to the footage for nearly 4 years without passing it on to the judges investigating the country's pedophile ring. Prosecutors were given copies of the tape earlier in their inquiry with the vital scene, and footage of Dutroux sexually assaulting a woman was edited out. But it just keeps going. What I'll go into here as well is the WikiLeaks revelation. What happened was, in 2009, WikiLeaks provided further information regarding the case by their publication of the Dutroux dossier. Belgian authorities later attempted unsuccessfully to force WikiLeaks to remove the Belgian dossier. Threats to sue WikiLeaks came amid a media firestorm in the wake of WikiLeaks' publication of the Iraq war logs, the revelation of US military human rights abuses, so it got buried by the Iraq war stuff. WikiLeaks summarized the Dutroux case. Dutroux was a figure in the European criminal underworld, and the case had connections to both underworld figures, to police corruption, and from there to Belgian political figures. WikiLeaks' Dutroux dossier also shows large financial transactions, maps of numerous European countries, and the presence of international currencies, including that of Morocco and Saudi Arabia. If you're smuggling things from Morocco, and especially Saudi Arabia, it's very likely you're not a criminal enterprise, you're a security force.
Yeah, the dossier shows payments of hundreds of thousands of francs to Michel Martin, Dutroux's then-wife, and to Dutroux's personal bank account. It appears to be a reasonable inference from these documents that Marc Dutroux and Michel Nolot were not acting alone in their criminal enterprises, much as in a lack of analysis of DNA material, as we covered before. Marc Dutroux was an electrician living on social security benefits during the time of the crimes, but nonetheless owned 10 houses. The New York Times wrote on this point, after several of the disappearances, Mr. Dutroux paid large sums of money into several bank accounts. Within 4 years of being released early from jail, where he had served time for rape and kidnapping, Mr. Dutroux, whose only official income was a welfare check, was worth an estimated 6 million francs.
Suggesting to investigators that he was acting for others higher up in a pedophile and prostitution ring.
And then again, they've got a whole section here about the mysterious deaths of their witnesses as well.
But this whole thing basically proves what the Belgian government denied, which is that Marc Dutroux is the member of an international pedophile ring that they refuse to investigate the members of because they are most likely members of the Belgian judiciary, police, and political class.
And other international governments, quite possibly.
And again, you must remember that Brussels is the seat of EU power. This very much is related to the use of child prostitutes, probably by members of the EU Parliament.
Probably directly under the orders of those working there, I'd presume.
The white march itself. There's a little bit more we have to go through. I want to kind of hurry us up a little bit here, though. One of the major triggering factors for the white march itself, though. I don't actually got that one up. Not.
This is the removal of the first judge that was on the trial, isn't it?
Yes. Jean-Marc, how do you even say that?
Conorotti.
Jean-Marc Conorotti. One of the better sources of information is actually the Wikipedia article, which is a decent summary. There are other links about this because some of the other sources talk about it, but I don't want to drag this out into too much detail. Is an examining magistrate and judge known for his role? Pro case. Coronet answered that he's responsible for the investigation into André Coors,
which was the assassination the previous year.
In October 1996, Conoretti was removed from the investigation of Dutroux by the Court of Assistation. I can't really say that. His impartiality was impaired because he had attended a fundraising dinner for the families of the victims of Marc Dutroux. There he had received a pen and a bowl of spaghetti as a gift. The affair became known as the Spaghetti Affair in Belgium. His removal from the case sparked national outrage in Belgium. He was considered a good judge as his decisions had led to the rescue of two of Dutroux's victims. Over 300,000 people protested his removal on other areas in the investigation during the White March in October 1996 in Brussels. So other sources prove, it says citation here, but they're in the Guardian sources. There's three there, I believe, which is the...
Further bit here, according to Conoretti, the class protection he was subjected to in the Dutroux affair under the pretext that a kill contract was on him was only present to watch him and put him under pressure. After he was removed from the case, he wasn't granted protection anymore.
He said that his attempts to find evidence concerning Michael Nihal, alleged accomplice of Dutroux, were met with resistance. Coronetti was convinced of the involvement of Michael in the abduction of one of the girls, and also thought that he was the leader of a child abduction operation by Dutroux. There's a quick one here. Lost it. It's another translated one. Pedophile case judge breaks down in court. It's basically by the Times in Australia. The Belgian judge who saved two young girls from Mark Dutroux's pedophile dungeon has broken down in the witness box, alleging high-level murder plots to stop his investigation into child sex mafia. Jean-Marc Coronetti was in tears on the fourth day of the trial on Thursday, describing the bulletproof vehicles and armoured guards needed to protect him against shadowy figures determined to stop the full truth coming out. Never before in Belgium has an investigative judge at the service of the king been subjected to pressure. We were told time by police that murder contests had been taken out against magistrates. As the danger mounted, emergency measures were taken. He then froze in silence and the court was adjourned until he recovered. He said organized crime methods were used to discredit his work and ensure his inquiries ended in judicial failure. A hero to millions in Belgium. Judge Coronetti was removed from the Dutroux case after he had dinner. He talks about the spaghetti affair. It was deemed a conflict of interest. The move resulted in workers on strike and 300,000 people marching silently through Belgium in protest. 7 years later, some of the families are boycotting the trial, describing it as a circus, saying the inquiry effectively shut down the moment Judge Coronetti left. Addressing the jury of 12 at the Aron Paris de Justice, Judge Coronetti relived the moment in August 1996 when his team rescued Sabine Derenet, 12, and Layetta Delhetz, 14, from the cage beneath the Trois house. So he was responsible for the warrants, I believe, that led to the searches. Mm. If it weren't for him, they probably never would have been found. He said the girls recoiled into their cells when the heavy hidden door was pulled open, fearing that the pedophile band had come to get them. The Trois coaxed them out, saying there was nothing to fear. But 79 days. Said the plan was to hand her over to the criminal network, but he kept her because he was depressed. So it sounds like there's been a throughput of these girls, and much more than he found, much more than were found, possibly dozens of them. But that's the Coronetti affair. I would like also now to point to what else is on here, which is there is a judicial timeline here about the investigation, because it is there's a lot of chronology. I'll quickly go through this because I don't want to information overload people. But the investigation has a huge amount wrong with it, and a huge amount that it can tell us about the cover-up. Because, okay, September 21st, 1996, Jean-Marc Coronet investigating Judge Dutroux case marries his girlfriend with whom he has been together for 10 years. They eat spaghetti during a benefit meeting, and it's deemed a conflict of interest. That's spaghetti affair we talked about. Spaghetti judgment. The court removes the investigating judge, Jean-Marc Coronet, because attending the benefits meeting where he received two gifts was dubbed a conflict of interest. That was in October. October again. The White March. 5 days later, the White March happens. 3% of Belgium's population in a single place. October 24th, fearing the Dutroux investigation would be screwed up, the Belgian Parliament set up an independent investigation. The outcome of it, by the way, is that the committee's second report states that the Dutroux gang did not enjoy protection from above, but benefit from corruption, carelessness, and professionalism. Dutroux escapes his guards in the courthouse, but is picked up again 4 hours later. Herbert Masser, advocate general in charge of the Dutroux case, commits suicide in 1999.
Just the previous one there, 23rd April, found by Ranger Stéphane Michaud. There's that name again, Michaud.
Yeah.
Interior Minister Jean Van de Lennart and Minister of Justice Stéphane de Klerk offered their resignation on the same day and are succeeded by Louise Toubac and Tony Van Pyers. Wasn't that one of the people previously tried to sort of poo-poo some of the allegations
that were made?
Respectively, the head of the government service, Willie de Ridder, also resigns. Jean Leloup is released 15th December 1999, released conditionally due to lack of evidence. Investigating Judge Jacques Langlois completes the investigation into Dutroux. The council chamber in Neufchâteau decides to bring Dutroux, Martin, and Livière before the court of Assisen. Nihal is excluded from prosecution, public prosecutor below, and some civil parties file an appeal. The Ligier Chamber of Indictment, AI, follows Attorney Burleigh and also refers Nihal to the Court of Assisen, and then Attorney Burleigh files a 27-page indictment. Do I want to go through the trial section
here? No, but all of this takes place, it's 1996 to 2004, so from arrest to trial is 8 years.
As of constant, reluctancy, people not carrying out their work fully as they should, or people just downright not looking at evidence for crimes that they're supposed to be investigating.
It's incredible, and like I said, I honestly think that that's a small roundup of what was left out.
Mm.
But it's amazing when you look into it. Just all the the Advocate General commits suicide. People are not prosecuted. Only four people come to trial, one of which isn't prosecuted. It's insane, this affair, but we need to be getting onto some of the conclusions from it, I believe, unless I've missed anything here. Quickly have a look at our document. Long wait for justice. There's the stuff about him, we're going through the stuff about him taking the stand. I believe there was a book written. This is from, again, the New York Times. Belgian pedophile scandal under the trial, this cover up its scope.
This is 1989, before, yeah, again, the trial could even start.
There was a book written called The X-Files, basically, what Belgium was not supposed to know about the Trudeau affair, which goes into a lot of this stuff. It basically says that a huge amount of people testify that they were victims of all of these people, and that they were offering some sort of revisionist history here. Mm.
Dutroux will go on trial probably in 2001. I'm afraid you were 3 years out. Yeah, there's a point above as well. Several of the prosecutor's offices failed to reply, but the Brussels region reported that 1,300 minors disappeared between 1991 and 1996.
Jesus. That's only a country of 11 million people, by the way. Imagine if there were 1,300 missing children in 5 years in, say...
That's like 1,300 children going missing in London over the space of 5 years.
Yeah. That'd be... And not being solved. That'd be unheard of.
Mm.
And London's a high crime... Belgium's relatively rural at this point.
Well, you would think as well, it's very homogenous.
Yes.
For the most part, other than your intermingling of... Euro-mutt elites.
Well, it goes into the point here, by that time, even by 2001, the statute of limitations on most of the unsolved murders described in this book will have run out. I'm not sure they have the statute of limitation on murder, but I think they mean like investigations and charging and things like that.
So, well, the people who could possibly be accomplices or have, been an accessory to them.
Well, what this all goes into, and I want to get up here, who Guy Verhofstadt is, that he was the Prime Minister of Belgium between 1999 and 2008, when large parts of this cover-up were going on. It took 5 years into his administration, despite it being 3 years since the arrest, for the trial to take place. He was Prime Minister for the majority of what was the dragging on Dutroux affair. And yet he is considered one of the most powerful people in Europe.
Mm.
He was Prime Minister of Belgium for 9 years. He is essentially like their Tony. He is their Tony Blair.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah.
He is Belgium's Tony Blair.
He is the arch technocrat.
Yes, he is. In the European Parliament, he was the leader for the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats, ALDE, which was, I think, the largest party. He was their nominee for President of the European Commission. He served as the European Parliament's Brexit coordinator, yes, which is where you might have heard of Guy Verhofstadt.
Well, he was also on a lot of UK news channels from 2016 to 2018.
Yes.
He was also all over Twitter as well.
But a large parts of the EU political class, even if they weren't involved in this directly, were involved in the cover-up or the ignoring of it, or the incompetence. Thank you for the donation, Tank Imperator. $20, thank you. It's always hard to hear this stuff, even my own experience in Afghanistan, where we were told and threatened to keep our mouths shut about the backed Barzi. When we came home to see the Epstein, Maxwell, brothels in the Netherlands, etc. Yeah, a lot of I've actually heard that from a lot of people from Afghanistan.
Yep.
A surprisingly high number of our viewers are military veterans, which I don't know if we should admit that or not.
I'm just wondering, shall we look at what Wikipedia has to say about, you know, Verhofstadt won, or, you know, his premiership in...
I don't think it mentions Dutroux very much at all. It talks about war crimes investigation. I don't think it mentions Dutroux in here whatsoever. I remember, let me look him up. Oh, sorry. No, it doesn't mention Marc Dutroux at all in Guy Verhofstadt's Wikipedia page, despite it being the biggest trial in Belgian, like, modern Belgian legal history.
This is also very, you know, like, people not understanding that Keir Starmer was head of the Crown Prosecution Service when the Jimmy Savile case was brought to him.
Yes.
Funny how that always happens, that, isn't it? That these people in... you know, relatively minor positions compared to the sovereign, commit these heinous acts, cover up the most heinous crimes,
yeah,
and then are parachuted into some of the highest positions globally. Must just be a coincidence.
Well, just to sum up quickly, because we will be finishing very soon. A police officer goes into a house and ignores the screams of children. He is promoted to police commissioner. A head prosecutor commits suicide before he can prosecute a case. Dozens of other witnesses. Like I said, 350,000 people in a country of 11 million march on the capital in one day. Large parts of the Belgian...
So someone else has got a great one there. AG Bill Barr overseeing both Ruby Ridge and Waco.
Yes. Like I said, the Dutroux affair is still a massive wound, a raw wound in Belgian politics. It is mentioned almost constantly when people talk about Verhofstadt's government or his predecessor's government, and when they talk about the Belgian political class in general. There were, in 1996, the biggest protests in Belgian history up to that point, directly protesting the corruption of a government they suspected was filled with elite pedophiles.
And that government then proceeded to reign for another 7 or 8 years afterwards.
Yes, and managed to drag out the legal process for 8 years. They lost in court.
And that same government is now looking at maybe releasing the man that committed these crimes.
Previously, he was released 3 years into a 13-year sentence after raping 5 children. It is inconceivable that this is not some kind of cover-up.
Mm.
The incompetence is too convenient, the deaths are too numerous, the coincidences are stacked far too high. But the issue is that we will never know.
No.
We know some of it because of the WikiLeaks revelations. We know some of it because of he was having money laundered through Saudi Arabia. That suggests a very powerful international clique of elites. Because organized crime does not put money through Saudi Arabia. Governments do.
Mm. So, well, they previously mentioned in the article prior that one element of Belgian police were taking large amounts of money from a helicopter manufacturer as part of military contracts. So there's obviously, you know, in this region, it's par for the course for large sums of money to be trading hands between foreign governments and security forces.
A lot of people have speculated what would happen if there were mass protests against, say, the Epstein affair.
Mm.
This is...
Or Rotherham.
Or any of these kind of implications of either elite pedophiles or elites covering up pedophilia. And the disturbing truth is nothing would change. They dragged out the legal process for 8 years. The political process never really happened. The judiciary was dismissed, people discredited. Large amounts of time were allowed to elapse, and the whole thing was not forgotten, but it went down from fever pitch.
And see, as well, the argument, I think, from some people would be, well, this was on a national scale.
Yeah.
So, you know, that wouldn't work. What if you did it more locally? Well, I actually know that during lockdown specifically, there was a number of concentrated local protests in areas around Stirling, Falkirk, Fife.
Yes.
Where people from local communities showed up to council houses on their street where someone had informed them that a paedophile had been moved into their community.
Yes.
Now, these people went out and protested those in their hundreds, which is no bad for wee villages up in, you know, the central belt of Scotland.
Well,
and at the time, these were live streamed on Facebook. If you go back and you try and find the fact that these things happened, scrubbed, it's all gone. The videos were gone off Facebook, any messages people had sent about it, psh, all gone.
Well, it's just if anyone disputes with you the fact that there are large-scale elite pedophile rings that exist in Europe, show them the Dutroux affair.
Mm.
Show them this, show them that. It is undeniable what happened here, and yet nothing changed, nothing was resolved. There were only token convictions.
Yeah, I realise now we're almost sort of perfectly adding an accompanying stream to that one the other week about the like the conspiracy formula.
Yes.
And that debunking conspiracies can be done via math. And that you could never have a national conspiracy that would involve all these people and they would get away with it. But here it is.
Here it is. All that would have to happen is you have an array of increasingly implausible elements to cover it up. And yes, I was about to mention that it does bring into focus the insipidness of this insistence that conspiracy cannot happen. And that those who say that are completely out of touch with reality because of things like the Dutroux affair and the subsequent White March. It is a perfect example.
I mean, it's not even like
we've gone
to any great lengths to go find like unreliable sources. We're going like Euronews, Guardian, The Times, and Wikipedia articles.
And also direct documents from WikiLeaks, who people are at great pains to remind that they've never released anything that's like been proven fake.
Mm.
Their disclosures from their mainline kind of disclosure, it used to be you'd be able to upload stuff there yourself, that stopped. But their disclosures that are vetted, none of them have ever been proven to be fake.
In the same way that Hillary Clinton really did email some of her staffers about digging up the Nephilim.
Yeah.
And or is it the burial of Nebuchadnezzar somewhere in Iraq or Iran? That's maybe a story for a different evening.
That is a story for a different evening. But all of this is by very mainstream sources. We will have as always, the sources will be in the pinned comment. We'll put out a community post. And we'll probably have a write-up on the Substack about this at some point. But I believe that this is an incredibly important...
one of the most perfect examples of the populist illusion.
Yes. It is one of the most important examples of, one, the proven existence of elite pedophile rings, and two, the fact that you can't do anything about them through normal political, judicial, and, you know, civil rights, in quotes, memes. That means.
I was reading Burnham's Struggle for the World earlier, and I might put this on Telegram and save it, like, do it up as a slightly more fancy image, but I just thought this quote was great. In general, it is a law of politics that a small minority, tightly organised and disciplined, knowing in advance what it wants and planning consciously how to get, has far greater weight than loose, amorphous majorities.
Epic Ninja, this is good stream, most anger I've ever been after a show of yours. We don't mean to make these like rage bait or blackpilling, but this is a huge political affair at the heart of European power.
Well, it's also...
There's gone memory hold.
Take this as a lesson to understand that when the mainstream gives you tidbits about Epstein, about Maxwell, about anything of that ilk, they are always looking to give you something to take you, or to make you go away happy as if it's been fixed.
Yes.
And one, it's not going to be fixed. And two, quite frankly, we are not at liberty to fix it.
No.
At least not through the actions demonstrated by those involving in the White March.
it is getting very Ride the Tiger, but I will sum up by saying, as always, if you have time, do your own research, look into the affair yourself. You may find bits that we missed. There's a lot of tendrils from this. We're trying to do this as a slightly quicker stream. Thank you to everyone who watched. Thank you to, again, our members. Thank you to people who donate.
And AA and a few other people who did shill this,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, thank you to shill the AA. He'll be streaming, I believe, at 9 p.m. about Ebola.
Go buy a copy of The Populist Illusion.
Yes, yes. He'll be streaming with the Swindon Strangler. I mean...
Well, he'll be streaming on the Lunar versus Solar, which is a discussion we sort of tangentially had with Philosopher Cat on a previous Monday, which a lot of people seem to enjoy, actually.
Yes, what I will do quickly as well is I will shill our latest post on Substack.
Which is also a must read.
Yeah.
As are all the posts on there.
Yes. Do subscribe to Anti-Politics. We'll be putting up stuff there twice a week. There'll be something about this in written form up there as well with expanded sources at some point over the next few weeks, I imagine. As always, links down below. We have a Telegram. And we, like I said, we do these streams every Monday, 7 p.m. UK time, and for when we can, we'll be doing them 7 p.m. on a Wednesday. I don't believe that treads on anyone's toes. Again, please interact with the videos. You know, like them, comment on them, but you know, give us out. You must present sacraments to the algorithm if you wish to see the Blackfelling Star,
and you must express your belief in the comments.
Yes, don't worry. We are all protected by the Don of Swindon. But we thought this was something worth bringing to people's attention because I heard about it tangentially, but I got a bunch of the facts scrambled when I was basically told the story by someone else.
Mm.
And the entire thing itself, again, you will never find a better example of the degeneracy of the elite and the futility of populism. Have a good evening.
Sleep well,
and please do tune into our stream on Monday about Prism, which might not be as infuriating, but will probably be as depressing. So have fun.
See you there.
Bye.